You know, it's all about making sure that something enters that trusted system. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, if you were to see FileVine, that's how it's built. It looks very different from our competitor system because we really didn't set out to build like a time and billing system. It was meant to solve this slipping through the cracks kind of problem. So that's really cool.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, as the announcer just mentioned. I hope you're having a terrific day today. It is another day to learn. It's another day to try to get some good information about how to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And listen, today it's all about technology, technology, technology. It's the future of law. It's happening all around us. And we just have to kind of lean into it. So my guest today is gonna hit this topic up like a superstar. It's Ryan Anderson. He's the CEO and co-founder of FileVine. How's it going, Ryan?
Good, Steve. How about you?
I'm doing okay. So you're calling from Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah, right in the heart of Salt Lake City. We're about 25 minutes from Park City, which is where I like to ski and stuff. So yeah, we're right in the heart.
Oh, that's right. That's right on. I'm in Chicago, and the hills that we have here are horrible. The skiing here is terrible. I don't recommend anybody come to Wisconsin or Chicago to go ski, but it's all we have, right? So we ski for like, you know, four turns and then we get on a chairlift. Anyway, I'll have to come out and see
you. You will. Yeah. You should be our guest. We're right off the freeway. And so we actually get quite a few people who are planning to come here for a ski trip and they'll drop by the FileVine offices. So,
okay. All right. Well, I might have to bring my 14-year-old because if I tell him I'm going skiing without him, he'll kill me.
There you go.
He's a snowboarder and he's all about it. So listen, give a little bit of background for my audience on how you came to be. And I think you're a former lawyer, correct?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. It's still licensed, but not practicing.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah. So let's see, I'll kind of back up to law school. Got married to my wife back in 2004 and she was teaching at the time. And so we had always kind of hoped to go back east for law school, but she was a teacher and had a good job. And most importantly, she had health insurance. And so I got into BYU. And so we decided that it made sense to just stay right here in Utah and go to school at BYU, which I loved. So absolutely loved my time at BYU Law School and enjoyed it and have made some lifelong friends there. Some of whom are customers today, actually. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Well, it's important to keep relationships long term, right?
That's right. You never know. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even thought of that. But yes, I can name at least two lawyers that I went to law school with who have now purchased FileVine. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, she was from Las Vegas. Her family's from Las Vegas. So she really wanted to be there. And so we moved to Las Vegas. I worked for a kind of smallish personal injury firm called a mid-sized personal injury firm down there. And did that for a few years and then left to start my own firm, as lawyers are wont to do. And I'm sure several people in your audience are similar. Left to start my own firm with a friend. And as we started to get cases, I realized pretty quickly that we needed to manage those cases. There was a software that I had heard of in the industry at the time. And I'll go ahead and say the name. There's nothing against these guys. Clio, C-L-I-O, which you may or may not have heard of.
Yeah, sure have.
So purchased Clio to manage the practice, and that was going great. It was going just fine for about a year, but I was handling kind of not just car accidents, but kind of larger scale medical malpractice cases, and then some wage and hour work. There were some significant cases around like wage and hour misclassification kinds of cases. And so because the cases that I was spending most of my time on, because those were larger cases and I spent a lot of time in the courtroom and handled trials and things like that, the cases were more complex and required quite a bit of interaction between myself. I think we had one associate and paralegals. And I noticed about the time that I got to kind of five or six people employed at the firm, it became really challenging to manage. It was more sort of the tasks that everyone had to do. You know, I wanted to know not just what I needed to do in a day. I wanted to know what I had asked somebody else to do and if they had done it or if they had not done it. And so knowing if somebody hasn't done something as a lawyer might be more important than knowing if they have, because certain things have to be done within certain timeframes. Yeah. And so that was really important to me. And, you know, I think Clio, if they're being completely honest, would admit that, you know, task management really wasn't their thing. It's more like time and billing. And so I set out to find something that could help us with the former and really just wasn't successful. I couldn't find anything out there that would do that. And at the time, happened to have a couple friends who were developers. One of them said to me, hey, you really ought to talk to this guy named Jim Blake. He just quit the job he was at. They were working together at the time. And I think he was slated to go out and get a job offer from Amazon. He can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that was the case. And he was about to go do that, but I think he had like 2 or 3 weeks in between quitting this job in Las Vegas and going out to Seattle. And Jim showed up at my office and said, hey, I'd love to kind of get you started before I head off to my real job. So I walked him through problems we were facing at our law office, and in particular, sort of this task management component where I really kind of wanted to understand what was going on in my firm, who was doing what, and what blockers they might have to do the next thing. And he said, well, look, you know, here's some ideas I have. I shared with him some ideas I had. I remember drawing up sort of like a Facebook feed kind of style program. And I said, you know, it really should look like this and it should have these components. And he said, well, let me do some research. And he took maybe 2 to 3 weeks where he followed me around my law firm, talked to employees of mine, and then went and talked to friends of mine who were also lawyers and saw what they were doing. And then I remember he took 2 or 3 days just in court and just sat and watched what attorneys did and how they interacted with judges and others. But he, you know, he put a lot of kind of face time into the problem and then came back with a stack of papers, kind of again, 2 weeks or so into it, and said, this is the specifications of a system that I would build to solve this problem. I'm not going to solve this problem. I'm going to go take this job that I told you about. But with these specifications, you should be able to hand them off to a competent engineer and they should be able to get you started. And it was at that point that I made sort of the most significant recruiting effort of my life and said, Jim, I really enjoyed working with you. I really think you shouldn't do that. And you should work here with me and try and build this thing. And I can't believe it, but he said yes. And, you know, coming up on 7 years, we're 6.5 years old. So nearly 7 years later, FileVine has gotten to be quite successful and over 400 employees and, you know, thousands of customers all across the country. So really, really pleased with its growth. And you know, along the way, about, you know, I don't know, several years ago, I stopped practicing law day to day and now focus 100% on this.
And so what are you seeing as far as like the main challenges that lawyers are having, similar to what you were talking about with task management? What kinds of technology challenges are they having? And I know that FileVine solves some of them, but there's, you know, there's a lot of different areas that technology, you know, works to help resolve. What are the kind of the main things you're seeing?
Yeah. So what I think lawyers don't want to have happen is have something fall through the cracks. I think what keeps lawyers up at night is that slipping through the cracks kind of fear. I don't know that I know a lawyer who hasn't said to me at some point, I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, wondering if I had missed this deadline or that deadline. You know, my father was a lawyer. I remember him telling me those stories. I remember feeling that personally myself. And to this day, I talk to lawyers who say these things keep me up at night. And with a lawyer, as I'm sure you know, Steve, in your work, they don't mean that figuratively. They literally mean that they can't go to bed because they're so nervous they've missed some sort of deadline.
Yeah.
So, you know, at any point in time, piece of information can come at you. And as a lawyer, once you're in receipt of that information, depending on what it is, you may have to react to it. So maybe it's a letter from the court. Maybe it's a letter from another lawyer. Maybe it's a motion that you have to deal with. Maybe it's a piece of evidence. Maybe it's something your client told you. Maybe it's an important witness who's reached out to you. These inputs can come from all over the place, and they can come in all sorts of different forms. Somebody could say it to you. Somebody could email it to you. Somebody could fax it to you. Lawyers still use fax. It's kind of crazy, wow. But that's still a thing.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Do they use fax? So it's wild. Most of it's e-fax by now, but they definitely still use fax. And so, because it can come in a, you know, anything from a Slack message to a text message to a Facebook message. I mean, I've seen that before. Because it can come into you from any area, the idea is, gosh, if you don't have a way to get that piece of information that you need to act on into a trusted system, you're exposed. The only thing between you and a malpractice claim is your memory. And that is not a good thing to rely on. So that's where I see most. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if I had to rely on my memory, I would be divorced and I wouldn't be working. So sometimes I tell my wife, she asks me something and I'll say, here's my phone. You can see everything I'm going to be doing for the next week. Here you go. Because if it isn't in there, if my son is waiting for me to pick him up and it's not in my calendar, he's not getting picked up. He'll just sit there. He'll just sit there.
100% the case. Oh, dude, Steve, you're a man after my own heart. No, I have said to myself, if I could just have somebody who just walked around kind of 10 feet behind me and made sure that I didn't lose the things that are around me, I would save hours out of every day because I'm constantly losing keys and my phone and whatever else it might be. So
But the software is the reliable software that you can count on to track everything that's going on around you so nothing gets misplaced or gets forgotten or lost. That's really what everyone's looking for.
Yeah, man. So have you ever heard of David Allen's Getting Things Done, the GTD methodology?
Not only have I heard of it, but I actually teach it.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I mean...
And I live it. I mean, if you look around my office, you will not see a piece of paper. And people are sick of me talking about this Remarkable 2 that I have now, which is my little tablet.
What is that?
It's a Remarkable 2. I need to get them as a sponsor. And essentially, it feels like paper. Everything is now in here. I don't do any paper anymore. Done with paper. And now they just integrated this with Google Drive and Dropbox. So now I have this able to save into Dropbox and vice versa. So I'm done. Like, this is it for me.
That's pretty cool. Tell me, so it better than an iPad? I have an iPad, but I don't tend to use a, I don't know what you'd call
like
it.
Like a stylus or something,
stylus,
right?
Stylus is the word, right?
So that was my first move. My first move was grab a new iPad and use it for notes and use it. But it's so slick that the pen just doesn't work well. It's kind of slippery.
I agree.
This feels like paper. It's a marker, fake marker that feels like paper. I've got an eraser at the end. So everything goes in here. All your notes are right here on this pad for our conversation. Now this is when, so then, but I can also take documents, PDFs, and put them here and then write on top of them. So it's just, and then I can save all of it to Dropbox and have a folder with all my podcast interviews or anything, client information, all my notes. So this is like just another piece of the puzzle of how do we use technology to save trees or how to make sure nothing gets through the cracks, to your point.
That's it. Yeah. So my word, I mean, that's really cool. So yeah, I'm a huge David Allen fan. And honestly, I got introduced to him from my developers. Maybe you know this, Steve, but Getting Things Done is a big deal in sort of the developer coding community, which, you know, I don't code. I know enough buzzwords to sound like to fake it for maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, you use the word code. So we all just assume that you know more than we do.
Right. But, you know, as you might imagine, I've now, you know, have very good friends and coworkers. And of course, my co-founder, who are highly technical folks, and they love the Getting Things Done methodology because it's, you know, it's all about making sure that something enters that trusted system. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, if you were to see FileVine, that's how it's built. It looks very different from our competitor's system because we really didn't set out to build like a time and billing system. It was meant to solve this slipping through the cracks kind of problem. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So Getting Things Done is a huge part of what I'm working with lawyers on all the time so that they can eliminate all those inefficiencies, figure out where to delegate, figure out what technology can automate and solve the problem that they're having. And the idea that you're integrating that kind of methodology into FileVine, I think is really, that's a big deal. And I think that lawyers should understand that that type of a mindset of efficiency is, I mean, that might be a huge differentiator for your software.
It's a completely different way, as you know, of kind of living your life and organizing all the chaos that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, for better or for worse, once you start using FileVine a little bit, you kind of get addicted to it because you've now sort of married yourself to this framework and it's very powerful. So Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And look, David Allen, if you're out there, sorry, I can't give you any stock at this point, but he's definitely an inspiration for FileVine. So
yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now. I'm sure of it. He's got nothing else to do. This would be under his drop it list, I think, of
the four D's. That's right.
Listening to Fretzen's podcast, I think that's going to go under the drop it another heading. Could listen to it like it's at double speed or something and get it done in 20 minutes or 15 minutes. Anyway, so let's talk about how to modernize a law firm. What are some things that need to happen? Because the future, I mean, in Utah and Arizona, are at the forefront of changes happening legally in the space. And I've had a few people on the show to talk about that, but I think we have to get our acts together as it relates to modernization. So what are three or four things that you work on with law firms that you see have to happen for a law firm to survive and thrive moving forward into the future?
So yeah, I'll dive into those. And I'll just mention real quickly, I don't know if you saw it, it was just announced by LegalZoom that they are actually going to hire lawyers in Arizona. So here you have, I think for the first time in US history, lawyers will be employed by a non-lawyer corporation. That's an interesting thing. I don't believe that has really happened before, certainly not on the scale that LegalZoom is going to do it. So but before I sort of get into the ways that lawyers can modernize, I'll just mention that's a big deal. And it will dramatically change the landscape. I don't know how soon it will happen, but if Utah's sort of already on that path, Arizona's already on that path 100%. I noticed that California is going in that direction. If you get a few big states, I think you'll see a cascading effect. And what it'll do, and this is kind of a controversial thing to say, but I think it's going to happen. Although we're not there yet, there are shoes to drop, but I think it'll mean private equity money will start flooding into law firms. And that's already happening through things like litigation finance, but it'll be direct. Yeah. You'll literally just have PE shops who will fund the law firms, which will really be an interesting world to live in. So setting all that aside, look, the first thing I would do as a law firm is make sure that your systems are all on the cloud. And you and I are sitting here on a Zoom. You're using this, what's it called? Remarkable 2.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that we probably trend a little bit to the right of the bell curve on technology as compared to many other lawyers and legal professionals. Those that are sort of on the back half, the left half of that bell curve, I got to tell you, it is shocking to me how many of them still have their key systems sitting on server-based, premises-based software. It's still there in a big way, especially time and billing. And a lot of these law firms are using VPNs to get into their key systems. So the very first move I would say is you got to get off of those. So if you're still on that, you got to get off it. Now, look, the tech forward folks that probably skew more on your podcast, they're probably not, right? They're probably on Dropbox or Box or whatever the case may be. And they probably have a cloud-based billing system. But I think you'd be shocked even within your customer base, and certainly we see this every single day, the majority of the people we sell to are still on servers. That's just not okay in 2021 for a whole bunch of reasons. Server-based systems are more easy to penetrate from a security perspective. It's sort of the opposite of what we had been led to believe, I think, from the IT industry for a long time, which was, hey, if it's on the cloud, who knows how secure it could be? Well, you don't hear of cloud-based systems getting taken down, but I can point to very specific examples. I won't, because I certainly wouldn't want to denigrate those systems, but the legal industry is probably aware of server-based systems or hybrid systems, which I think is probably the worst of both worlds, that have literally been taken offline by hackers. I mean, there was a famous case of a competitor of ours that had ransomware applied to their entire customer base that was on their hybrid cloud. Just unacceptable in 2021. So that's kind of job one. There's lots to do from there. I would say you need to make sure you're digital, meaning every single item of mail that comes into your law firm needs to be scanned and uploaded to a secure system. In FileVine, we think that your doc management and your case management system should be one thing. We don't think that people should think of those as two separate systems. So you know, we've done a lot of work to have a document management system that we think is comparable to Dropbox, and we think exceeds it in some ways. But what I will say is whether you're scanning into Dropbox or Box or some other document management system, every single item of mail that comes in needs to go there because it needs to be indexed, OCR'd, and searchable, and be able to, you know, you need to be able to tag it with metadata, put it into an online folder structure so it's there forever. Go ahead.
And has the COVID crisis sort of accelerated these you know, cloud-based and mail to digital functions because everybody's working from home and remotely?
Totally, it has. So, yeah. You know, you might imagine it has been a good thing for Fiovine as a business, but yes, you're absolutely right. Law offices are now, you know, they're a place that you receive mail, which doesn't make a lot of sense if, you know, you may have to be out of the office during quarantine. So yeah, there are entire companies that will receive your mail. I think Earth Class Mail is one of them. I've also heard of a company called Lob, like a tennis lob, L-O-B, that will actually receive your mail, scan it, and send it to you in some sort of secure form. So we don't do that, and we just do the storage component. But yeah, I think that that's just absolutely critical. So whether you're using an outside service to do that, or whether you have somebody at your office whose job it is to simply take the mail and scan it in, that seems like job one.
And so what about, and I know you were going to get into this, but about collaborative work, task-based work. So I'm a managing partner, let's hypothetical this. I'm a managing partner. I've got, 15 attorneys working at different levels, associate partner level. And I need to know stuff's getting done, right? That things are getting filed and cases are moving forward. And we're not talking because we're all virtual. We're all running around doing our own thing. So how does then the technology and Fiovine work within those for the task management?
Right. So, we talked earlier about this. As a lawyer, you want to know not just what you need to do, but what you've assigned somebody else to do and what the status is on those things. So Fiovine has a list of tasks for the user, but we also have the ability to say, hey, show me all my tasks that I've assigned out and what is the status of those tasks. You can also say, show me all my tasks that I've assigned to a particular person. You can say, show me all the tasks that have been assigned on the Smith case that are coming due in the next 30 days. So one thing that Fiovine does a really good job of, and I tend to think this is an area of strength for us as opposed to some other competitors, is we have really robust reporting that is we've built all ourselves. So you can report against anything in the entire system. So you can say things like, okay, I want to know all my deadlines over the next 90 days where I've assigned the work to Susan and it applies to these 10 cases. And you at the click of a button, you can look at that. And then what we also do is we have sort of these timed reports and visualizations. So I'll talk about the timed reports first. So you can say, look, once a week, I want to get a report of all the deadlines coming up across every assignment that I've given to Steve. And we'll just email you that. And it'll just be a list of all the things that Ryan has assigned you. And I'll be able to see, oh, looks like Steve's falling behind here. Looks like this one he's already completed. Looks like this one you need some help on. And I can see all that as a report that just hits my email inbox. So I don't have to go into Fiovine or remember to look at this. Fiovine will automatically tell me that it needs to happen. So that's really critical. And then, generally, we believe that lawyers are unique in a couple ways from other knowledge workers. In the conversations that lawyers have, Fiovine, we call them conversations of record. And here's what I mean. If you have a conversation with an insurance adjuster, there could be language used in that conversation that makes that conversation operative, meaning contractual. In other words, if you have a conversation where you say to an insurance adjuster, I accept your offer, that is, you just made a contract on that phone call. That is very different from somebody in a marketing department who needs to know if the copyright they just did is the direction people want to head, or they're looking for feedback on a billboard or something like that. That conversation you had with that adjuster or that opposing lawyer or that judge or your client who directs you to settle the case or a witness, these are conversations of record. And what we do is we advocate that you immediately take that conversation down in a note in Fiovine. And then what's great is in Fiovine, you can actually take these notes about conversations that you've had and then turn them into actual actionable tasks. So if I have a conversation with Bob about his I'll just take a super simple example. Bob's got a medical malpractice case against his doctor. And I say to Bob, okay, what do you want to do on this case? It looks like, you know, there's a motion for summary judgment that's come in. I assume you want me to oppose that. And would you like me to make an offer to the other side? And Bob gives me direction. I need to take those notes down. A, so I remember what Bob said and what, you know, what he wanted me to do. And then B, once that note is in FileVine, I can, with just a couple of keystrokes, assign that note in context of the case to another person at the firm who can then go take action on it. And then through something we call the feed, which is very much like a Facebook feed, we can see what the progress of that person has been as that task progresses. And we can see, oh, looks like we've got the witness affidavit we need to beat this motion for summary judgment. And now I know if the progress is being made on this thing that I've asked somebody to do. So that's how we do it, is we bring all that communication into the platform. When I was talking earlier, I was saying, hey, like, there's the inputs for a lawyer can come at them from so many different angles. You know, FileVine tries to say, hey, no matter what source that information is coming at you from, we're going to find a way to get into the FileVine very, very quickly and make it actionable, make it so you can actually task yourself or somebody on it and see what the progress is.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. And again, between the cloud, the mail to digital, the reporting, and how we manage tasks, it sounds like it's just a really robust software that just solves a lot of problems. And lawyers, you know, need to consider, you know, technologies and automations that are going to make their lives easier and more predictable, because the world is changing and we've got to stay on top of those kinds of things. One thing I wanted to kind of wrap up with, and maybe just take 30 seconds to a minute on this, and then we're going to hit the three best of, is as technology as it relates to help attract and recruit talent. And I think I saw that on your website, and I was intrigued how FileVine or your company is helping with technology for that purpose.
Yeah. So you and I think spoke offline before the podcast around sort of the tactics that you're seeing out there for recruiting of lawyers. We are in a generational worker shortage in law. There are not enough of them, and the tactics are getting increasingly aggressive. We're seeing customers are telling us that recruiters will call their law firms. We've seen examples of recruiters calling relatives of lawyers that they want to recruit. Wow. To come work for them. It is getting extraordinarily aggressive. So you have to be on your game. So the areas where I would use technology, you have to understand how engaged your workforce is. So we use and by the way, there's a million of these companies. So we like this one, but there's so many good ones. You can't go wrong. We use a software called Culture Amp. This is not a FileVine company. It's just a software that we use, Culture AMP, that sends out surveys to our team that just gives us a baseline engagement level. And it measures things like, you know, trust in leadership, general happiness at the office, engagement, all those kinds of things. And what you want to do with that first survey is not necessarily say, oh, we're doing good or bad, because you actually don't know, because it's going to be relative. But you want to know that on the next survey that you've made improvements. And so if you do a survey and then you do another survey 3 months later or 6 months later and there's improvement, hey, you know things are going well. And if there's not, then you know there's something maybe to take a look at. You know, that's maybe evidence of some kind of problem. So I do think kind of culture surveys are a big deal for law firms. And we do a lot of those. I also think internal training. So it is amazing what will happen if an employee feels you are willing to invest in them. The employees know that investing in their career is probably the most important thing they can do. And if their very employer says, hey, we're going to find you a coach to teach you how to do this thing better, or we're going to pay for you to get this certification, or we're going to, you know, bring speakers in at lunchtime to help you learn how to do X, Y, or Z. That internal coaching where people feel like the office and their place of business is a place where they can actually invest in themselves, that will help engagement quite a bit and drive a lot of loyalty.
Yeah. Now is the time to step up and say thank you and ask, how can I help you? And what can we do better? And really just, you know, hit your people where it counts, because they're getting hit up every day, to your point, by these recruiters, and people are jumping ship like crazy. They're getting, you know, offered huge money. That's, I don't know how that's going to end up at some point badly, but, right. You know, it's just nuts out there. So I think, yeah, investing internally in your team, and that doesn't have to be money. That can be time. That could be, right, just like, you know, asking, how was your day? you know, or taking them on a little retreat or just, you know, some extra bonuses that they weren't expecting, right?
Totally.
Really great stuff. So let's move from technology to Salt Lake City. So that's a place I've never been. And I definitely, it's on my list. I think you're like right up there with Austin. I haven't done Austin either. And that was the guy I had a technology guy on my show who's from Austin, just maybe it was the last show. But talk to me about if I'm coming to visit you, and this is by the way, my treat, Ryan. Okay. So I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to, you know, be a moocher.
Sounds good.
I will treat you. But what restaurant are you taking me to? What's your favorite place to go and eat a great meal?
Gosh, I'm going to have to go with just a local favorite that is right up the road from File Vine. So you could actually walk to it. It's called the Dodo, D-O-D-O, named after the Dodo bird. So yeah, just they have a phenomenal turkey sandwich. And that place is packed for lunch every single day. And it's about as local as you can get to Salt Lake. That restaurant's been around for a long time. And if you want to go where the locals go, the Dodo is awesome.
Go where the Dodo go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say here, but what would be something that I would want to see or do in Salt Lake City?
Look, Salt Lake is for people who love the outdoors. That's why I love it here. And if you live here, you know, you better love the outdoors because otherwise it gets too cold. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. If you can get up to the mountains, I'm a fan of Park City. So, you know, any place to go ski, Deer Valley, if you make a lot of money. But there's great resorts, world-class all throughout Salt Lake City. And the great part, and you know, look, I've got a lot of friends in Colorado. Colorado's sort of our little frenemy state with regards to skiing. The difference between Salt Lake and Denver is that when you fly into Salt Lake, you're half an hour away from hitting the slopes. When you fly into Denver, you're 2 hours away.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome. You can see the mountains right when you land in Salt Lake. It's a pretty incredible place. So if you're a skier, a snowboarder, definitely that's where I'd take you.
All right. And then what are the locals into? What are you into, let's say outside of skiing, just we know you ski already. But
sure,
what else,
sure.
What other outdoorsy things do you do, or what other things are the locals into?
So I mountain bike pretty much every week. I hike regularly. The great thing about living in Salt Lake City is you don't even need to get in a car to hike or mountain bike. So I can literally leave my house and within about 15 minutes be on a mountain bike trail that is, you know, as beautiful as you'll see anywhere, and just be in the mountains and the hills overlooking Salt Lake. So a lot of mountain biking, a lot of hiking, great rivers. Fly fishermen, I think, really like the Provo River, which is right by here. So yeah, it's an incredible place if you love the outdoors.
Yeah, I have a close friend who builds houses up there and then lives in them and then sells them. And he's always fly fishing. He's always skiing. He's just living this total amazing life. And then when he's not there, he's in Costa Rica. So he's doing the same thing.
Rough.
He understands how to build and sell homes. So he just builds homes. He lives in them for a year and then sells them for a lot of money. And this guy does. Anyway, listen, I think what you're doing is great. How you're helping the legal community is huge. If people want to learn more about Filevine or get in touch with you or your team, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So first of all, people can email me. I mean, filevine.com is our email, is our website, but Ryan at Filevine is a great place to reach me, Ryan at filevine.com. I'm ultra responsive on email, probably too much. It's going to come a point where I can't respond to all the emails that come in, but I like to be responsive, especially to people who have interest. So yeah, shoot me an email, ryan@filevine.com, and we'd love to chat.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for being my guest and being on the show, sharing your wisdom and your technology with my audience. And hopefully people are going to, you know, check out your website and see what it's all about, because it sounds like it's just got all the bells and whistles to help a law firm really be organized and how they, you know, run their firm.
Steve, I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And hey, everybody, thank you for spending some time with Ryan and I today. Hopefully, again, you got some really good takeaways. And I'm taking notes on my Remarkable Two, who, by the way, you know, they better become a sponsor, because I'm talking about them all the time at this point. So, but seriously, if you're looking for a
I'm gonna check it out.
You gotta check it out, man. It is so slick. I was upset because it wasn't mirroring with Dropbox, and I just uploaded the software today. I still haven't figured out how to do it, but that's like the only thing that was missing for me, and now it has it. So I'm a lock. I'm an absolute
that's
lock.
Awesome.
So listen, everybody, take care, be well, be safe. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, hear from you soon. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.